gray. And all you can do is laugh at her. Doesn't anybody know how to pray? Arizona, take off your rainbow shades.
Washington. He was looking for a throne to steal. He wanted to bind his frame of mind to America's New Deal. When he came upon this patriot on the guitar playing it hot, Obama jumped up a political stump and said, Joe, I'll tell you what. I'll bet you hadn't heard that I'm a guitar player too. And if you care to take a dare, I'll make a bet with you. Now you play a pretty good guitar, boy, but give Obama his due. I'll bet the nation's soul whose throne I stole, I'm a better player than you. Joe said, my name's not Boy Man, and I'm ready to rebel. But I'll take your bet and your veiled threat if it'll break your evil spell.
Joe, grab your Stratocaster and play your fingers hard. Cause hell's broke loose in D.C. and Obama holds the cards. And if he wins the minds of men, the damage is untold. But if you win, the devil could be unthroned.
Telecaster and said, I'll start this test. And fire flew from his fingertips as he unbuttoned his president's vest. Then he kissed his magic guitar pick and it made an evil hiss. And a band of politicians joined in and it sounded something like this. Finished, Joe said, well, you're pretty good, Hussein, but sit right there with that arrogant glare till I finished up my playing.
He played.
Obama's in D.C., run, boys, run. The devil in the White House ain't no fun. Arizona, take off your rainbow shades.
Head because he knew that he'd been bound, and he laid his silly rubber mask before Joe upon the ground. Joe said, Obama, please get lost and don't you ever come back again. We done told you once, you socialist pawn, you ain't our nation's friend.
He played.
Obama's in D.C., run, boys, run. The devil in the White House ain't no fun. Change in Congress, take an our dough. Granny done Medicare, no child, no.
It's time for the shooting bench. If political incorrectness offends you, or if you don't like guns, or if you don't believe our government is corrupt enough to compare to 1938 Nazi Germany, this may not be the show for you, because for the next 2 hours, that's all we're going to talk about. You need to understand that there's a storm coming. You need to understand that the storm is building strength. And most of all, you need to understand that
we are the storm.
And here we are, Susie B. We made it. It's a couple minutes late. We had a 5 minutes or so worth of intro there, so it's acceptable. We'll let it go this time. And it is what it is. It's the 31st of July, last day. Got a anniversary thing for you here in a little while. Lots of stuff to talk about tonight. A lot of things going on. Some of it's pretty serious. I fully expect the show tonight to go the full 2 hours, or pretty dang close to it anyway. We got tons of stuff to discuss. Actually, we're not going to discuss it. I'm just going to talk about it, and you're going to listen until you get tired of listening and go away, I guess, because it's kind of hard to discuss things when I'm on this end of the mic and you're on that end. So, but we'll do the best we can. We got some classes coming up in Albuquerque here pretty quick. Probably haven't set a date yet, but it'll probably be try to shoot for the second weekend of September. And it will be a full day Glock armor class. It will be a 1 day defensive handgun class, personal defense handgun, and a 1 day disaster preparedness class, so seminar type thing. So that's what we got going on. There'll be 3 consecutive days. It'll be a Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And as it stands right now, it will most likely be, we have Labor Day on that weekend. So yeah, it'll most likely be the 9th, 10th, and 11th of September. I will get this date confirmed and get back with you here sometime this week for sure, because that's only going to be a month, 5 weeks away, so we need to get on with it. And we're going to have concealed carry classes coming up here in our new classroom over in Lakeside. Nice classrooms, not very big, not nearly as big as we got, but it's our secondary classroom. We've got a much bigger classroom here in Vernon, and the one in Lakeside is strictly for, non-shooting classes. So it'll just kind of a backup classroom. It's a really nice place. So, all right, let's see what we got. First off, I think we better go see who all is in the chat room. I know Susie B's been raising Cain in there. We're gonna have to give her an attitude adjustment, I think. Yeah, me and Susie B has been talking about a topic here earlier today, so we'll get on with that here in a minute. Let's check it out. Doc's in there. Doc, if you tried to call you today, see what your question was. If you want to put it in here, you're welcome to. If not, I can call you after the show or tomorrow or whatever. Desert Rat's with us again. Glad to see you in there. And Doc and Mini Man Finn and Rolex and Susie B and Yakima Glock. Washington is well represented here tonight. Zardos, Radio Doc, don't know who the anonymous is there, but we've got several from Washington, Texas, Mississippi. So, anyway. All right. I know Susie B is chomping at the bit wanting to hear about this. And mostly, this is going to be up for your consideration, something for you to think about. There's great, what did I do? How dumb was that? Let's see here. Let me try this again. Okay. All right, the thing that Susie B talked to me about today is the fact that Joe Arpaio has been found guilty of contempt. And there's, you know, Joe Arpaio has not been quite the hero that everybody thinks he is as far as being a constitutional sheriff. He was good. I mean, he did a lot of good stuff. I had no problem with the tent cities that he had for prisoners. Some people said it was inhumane. I don't care. I don't think it was unconstitutional. I don't think it's cruel and inhumane treatment or any of that. It's just, it is what it is. I mean, I just don't have a problem with it. He was a hard ass, no doubt about it. And he did a lot of good. And I think he got to a point, I believe, where I kind of got the impression numerous times that he was going after the limelight a little more than the mission, if you know what I mean. I don't know if that's a fact or not. It's just kind of the impression that I got a few times that he kept on and kept on with some things. Some people say he's like a bulldog and he's very tenacious and all that. And I kind of got to a point where I think he was doing it just for the headlines. So, but what would happen if, this is all pretty new. It's just come out in the last day or so here. He was found guilty of criminal contempt. So, what's going to happen to Joe Arpaio? He, of course, LA Times was quick to jump on this. And they've got a very, very large Hispanic readership out there. And I know they're just having a ball with this. Joe Arpaio is 85 years old. And said he could face up to 6 months in jail. He's not going to be sentenced until October 5th, so we'll wait and see what happens here. But what are some of the things that could take place here with if Joe were to be incarcerated? In first place, my first question is, I wonder where they're going to put him. It's going to be pretty tough to put him in any of the local jails around there. That's a big question for me. But what Susie B was thinking, and I have to agree with her, we talked about this quite a bit, and if he were to get put in there, and here we have Joe Arpaio as basically a political prisoner, is he in the same line with the Bundys and all of that? He had a legal, everything he did about this immigration thing, as far as I'm concerned, was legal. He had a ruling from the court. He was doing what he was supposed to be doing, and then he didn't have a ruling from the court. If I remember right, they changed their mind, and he didn't change his. And what happened there towards the end, I believe. So what would Susie B is all excited here. What happens if he gets thrown in there and conservatives, Arizona conservatives particularly, take exception to it? Well, some of them will. There's a lot of people that like Joe Arpaio. There's also a lot of conservatives that don't like Joe Arpaio. And this is our main huge problem in this country, is we have so much division. It's fine we have division between us. Not fine, but it's expected to have division between us and the liberals. That's been going on for a long, long time. It is not fine that we have so much division amongst conservatives. And we look at We didn't have very much until Donald Trump was elected. And boy, howdy, did the division start then, and I do not understand it to save my life. I still don't understand. Most of the people that don't like him on what he might do or what he did 30 years ago. Nobody seems to have any real good, solid evidence of anything going on right now to give me any cause not to like him. He has, every president, without exception, from George Washington on, has done something that somebody didn't like. No one is ever, even Jesus Christ himself, if he was elected president, is ever going to make everybody happy. There's always going to be some little something other that somebody doesn't like. It's the way it is. It's the nature of the beast. There's no way around it. And some of the things that Donald Trump has done, yeah, I know that there's been some things that have been questionable, things that probably wasn't the smartest thing in the world. But, you know, I hear people talking about the money that he spends on his wife being one place and him being another and security for the kids. Shut up! Shut the hell up! How much money did Obama spend? Trip after trip after trip after trip. Golf games were important things. Just shut up. That's the stupidest argument I ever heard in my life. And there's no way that we can know, we will ever know, what exactly goes on, what is said and what is done, and what is planned and what is executed inside the Capitol building, in the Oval Office. Whether it's, yeah, Doc, I ain't no kidding, the first ones to eat their own, yeah, I agree, and it makes me sick. It makes me sad. It makes me want to cry. I swear, it really breaks my heart that it's going this way. And as so many people think they have all the answers, you know, just like with same thing with 9/11, with the Twin Towers. Well, this happened and that happened, and I know this and I know that. And basically, it's all just conjecture and conspiracy. Some of it may or may not be. I'm not saying it's not true. I'm just saying that these people don't know. They get stuff off the news from you know, Alex Jones and some of these other things, and then you have a huge mixture of these satire sites that people jump on so fast. I'm the first one on Facebook. I spend all day chasing these people around and telling them that World News and Daily Report is a satire site. Your Newswire is a satire site. There's so many of them. And they see something on there, and it agrees with their line of thinking, and all of a sudden it's true. They don't check on it. They didn't spend not one second of time researching it. They just take bang, and they see it, and it's shared, and it's the truth. It is the gospel truth. And it pisses me off so bad I can't stand it. So, anyway, that's my story and I'm sticking to it. There's a large contingent of conservatives, and I'm including most Republicans, libertarians, you know, everybody that's not a libtard in this group. And there's a large contingent of people that love Sheriff Joe. And there's, I think, an equally large contingent, and the Democrats and then most of the Hispanics. Not all of them. Believe me, there's a lot of Hispanics that love Sheriff Joe. because most of the Hispanics and their families that are here legally that have worked hard to get here, they don't want, they're not all for these other ones coming in here illegally and not spending a dime to do it. And I'm not either. You know, there was a time, I guess, when there weren't any restrictions going from country to country, and you know, it's I guess, you know, on the one hand, I don't know. I'm not for completely open borders. I'm just not. I think that, I'm not even going to get into that argument. We've been there before. But I'm not for it anyway. So we'll see what happens on October 5th. We'll see. I think they're between now and October 5th when he is sentenced. I think that there will be some groups formed, some rallies happening, both in support of him and against him. And it may get pretty Western. It may get pretty exciting. And I think that's a Susie B just can't stand it. She's got a calendar out, and she's marking the days down like we did when he was in the service, marking them down till the last day. And I think Susie B is very much like a lot of the rest of us. You know, none of us want to see a war. We don't. And nobody, if you do, you're nuts. You're a retard. But that being said, something has to change. I would prefer that it could be done somehow in using the political process, but I'm really not seeing that happen. Oh, we've tried and tried and tried for years and years and years to try to make something take place here, and it just has not happened. And Susie B, and I figured you wrote it down already before I even said that. There has been petitions, and we've gone to the voting booth. Now, one thing I'll have to say, this year I was dumbstruck. I was completely flabbergasted with his heart. I knew beyond a doubt that Hillary was going to win. And that tells me, since she didn't, I would like to see the real numbers. I would have liked to have seen what would have happened if it hadn't been so rigged and so corrupt and everything on the on Hillary's side there. I truly don't believe that, and I don't have anything to base it on other than the way the guy talks, but I truly don't believe that there was, I won't say any corruption or anything with on Trump's side. There may have been, but I can't imagine there being much, if any, because he was under a magnifying glass the whole time, and Hillary was not. So, let me, before my chat room gets completely away from me here, let me check and see what Doc said about the Glock. I'd be delighted to know, because a family friend is a divorced mother too, waiting for an overdue child support check, was financially distressed, finally found me the owner of a Glock 21. Paid too much for it? No, I don't know what you paid for it, so I couldn't say. But I will say, I wish I could do a grip reduction for you, because I know those things are way too fat. I don't like, maybe you like the big grip, I don't. But as much as I'm not a 45 fan and a big grip fan and the whole nine yards, I can guarantee you one thing. The Glock 21, every one that I've ever shot, and I've shot a bunch of them, is they're shooters. They're damn sure shooters. They shoot very, very well. Yeah, Susie B's just having a fit over this Arpaio thing. I think there was something else about Glau. Can I safely and reliably shoot mid-range 10mm loads out of my Glock 21 with only a barrel change? Yes, you can. And you don't have to limit them to mid-range loads. You can shoot whatever you want to in them. The frames are the same. And all you need is a... don't let anybody talk you into a conversion barrel. The only thing you're going to find different on the conversion barrel is the hood in the back that locks into the ejection port. It's slightly narrower on the Glock 20 barrel, and which makes no difference. It has nothing to do with lockup, has nothing to do with strength. If you find a cheap Glock 20 barrel, throw it in there and shoot. On the other hand, yeah, if you want to get a conversion barrel, it won't hurt a thing. But you don't have to change anything out. If you have any problems whatsoever with it, change the extractor. The extractor's, I don't know, $18 or something like that. I don't remember what they are. But if you have any problems at all, I know three people that are exclusively shooting 10mm barrels in Glock 21s, never had a problem. Had a guy took a class with one. No, he was shooting a Glock 20 with 40mm or 40 caliber ammunition. That's different. So, yeah, just barrel change, and you can shoot any 10mm load you think you're man enough to shoot in there. Doc, the best conversion is not a complete top end. It's really not. All you need is a barrel, and you can shoot anything that a Glock 20 could safely shoot, you can shoot in that Glock 21. The frames are exactly the same. The slides, the difference is so minor, only because of the wider, a bigger diameter of the 45 caliber ammunition, that there's a little bit of difference in the lockup and everything. It does not affect anything. I've seen thousands and thousands of 10mm, heavy 10mm, shot through Glock 21s. There's not any difference in the frame, so don't be concerned about that at all. You'll like the way that thing shoots. The 10mm, the Glock 20 magazine, to pop right in there. And that's all you need to do. Barrel and magazine, you'll have two guns. So, and you'll like the way it shoots. I guarantee it. Okay, let's see. All right, let's move on. I'll tell you what we need to do. I think we're going to move on to a little break here. And I got a big bonfire going out there. I got a bunch of stuff off of a couple of jobs I'm getting rid of. So as I'm around, check it and make sure. I ain't worried about it getting away from me because that couldn't burn anything. It's rained so damn much here over the last 4 or 5 days or a week that there is no possibility of anything happening in that regard. I just want to make sure everything's getting burned up. So give me a few minutes and I'll be
back.
No, I already said that.
The crime race through the roof. Gun control is on the rise. We make our ends meet. Take what we need to survive. A shot, one kill is such a thrill. That's the way that I was raised. When I pick up a gun, I hit right where I aim. It's time to take a stand. It's time to draw the line. You better bring yours when you come to take mine. Granddaddy taught my daddy how to hunt and how to fish, how to be a man. Don't take any shit. Raised up on the good book, learned about the land. They grew what they ate, they didn't get it from Uncle Sam. It's time to take the stand, it's time to draw the line. You better bring yours when you come to take mine. So go and round up all them Yankee boys, get ready for a fight. I'll round up all my rebel friends, meet you at the Mason-Dixon line. 'Cause the South is gonna rise again, and we're gonna kick your ass this time. You better bring yours when you come to take mine. It's not really about North or South, it's about red, white, and blue. I'll fight beside any Yankee man if he feels like I do. We'll stand here today and we'll proudly say to the man in the suit and tie, you better bring yours when you come to take mine. So go and round up all them Yankee boys, get ready for a fight. You might have won that war back in 1865, but the South is gonna rise again, and we're gonna kick your ass this time. You better bring yours when you come to take mine. You better bring yours when you come to take mine. You can bring yours, but Mr. President, you ain't taking mine.
Your things and go. Just how much will be lost, nobody knows. Mama grabbed the Bible and the pictures off the wall. She packed the car with memories but could not fit them all. And I could still see her troubled eyes while she tried to decide just what she would take with her and what to leave behind. The man said, fly, fly, the devil's inside, the rodeo and the cheddar sky. Fires that burn out of control. God bless those left behind to fight the flames and hold the line. Give it all to save our home from the fire on the rodeo. Every day from the shelter at 5 o'clock in 10, and they told us to hang together. We're doing the best we can. Someone said the president's here, but it's hard to get information. Is the home still there or is it gone? The hard part is not knowing. Fly, fly, the devil's inside, the rodeo in the cheddar sky. Fires that burn out of control. Home from the fire on the movie line.
this fire didn't get us all. We owe that to unsung heroes.
Fly, fly, the devil's inside the rodeo and the cheddar sky. Fires that burn out of control. God bless those left behind to fight the flames and hold the line.
Welcome back to another segment of the Shooting Bench, right here on the Survival Circle Radio Network.
That ain't country.
That ain't country. Yeah, we country.
All right, we're back. Let me, fire's doing fine, so let me run over here and check the chat room real quick. Yeah, we just saw the discussion there about the 40 caliber and the different form. You know, there's still 40's not as popular as it once was by any means, but it's still holding its own. It's doing well. I don't know what it is that people don't like about the 40. It's I love it myself. I have gotten a little bit more tolerant of the 9mm. I've never disliked it, but I was hardcore 40 for right now. I wish I hadn't been quite so hardcore on it. I wish I would have stuck back more 9mm stuff. I do have one complete gun and conversion barrel and magazines and both 40 and 9mm barrels put away. And I wish I'd have been a little bit more a little bit more open-minded when I started with the 40. When I first discovered the 40, boy, I went all out, gung-ho, and got everything in 40. Let's see here. Yakima Glock, you can try. I forgot the company. There's an outfit that makes a carbine conversion for a Glock that has 16-inch barrels for a 10mm. You can get it for 10mm, 9mm, and 40. I had one for a while, and I just didn't like. If I would have bought a separate frame for it, it would have been okay. But I didn't like to. The idea was, to me, was to be able to have a carbine and a handgun in the same, you know, at the same time. So that meant if I wanted to do that I had to buy another frame to keep my carbine running so I didn't have to break my handgun down. So I eventually abandoned the idea, but it shot pretty well. And the 10mm and the 16-inch barrel, I tell you what, it's a hoss. It'll do whatever you want it to do. Pretty tough. Wait a minute. All right, got it. A mountain shooter, don't get us off started on that again. You know, I have been working on this deal here. I'm going to say this briefly and move off of it. I've been very surprised, pleasantly surprised, at the response that I've gotten from the local community in this emergency communications thing that we've put together. We've got, I think we have 23, 24, I believe we have 24 people signed up for it right now, and they cover the widest parts of the community and some of in the heart of it here also. So even if nobody else were to do it, we've got people in the outskirts, we've got people on every corner of this community as far as we think that our repeater is going to reach. And so that means that with some local relay stuff, there's a lot of other people that have radios. They're just reluctant for whatever reason, or maybe haven't heard of it yet. Not everybody listened to the Shooting Bench. Imagine my surprise. I can't imagine who doesn't, but there's a lot of people out there that have GMRS radios and whatnot. So these people that in an emergency that we're able to contact will be able to contact other people in their area. So we've pretty well, not as much as I would like, but we've pretty well accomplished what we set out to do with this emergency communication. The bad thing is that I hate is that now that we have the money for the licensing, the FCC says it takes anywhere from 3 to 12 weeks to get the licensing in. So we're going to apply for a waiver type deal here and see if we can get in on an emergency basis and get this in a little bit quicker if we can, so that we can get our frequencies and get everybody's radios programmed and all like that. So, all right, let's see. Yeah, Yakima Glock, if you do that, I could almost dig an AR in 10 millimeter that takes Glock magazines. You do that, and you and me will be fast and tight buddies, because I'll need you to build me one just like it, if it works. So we'll see. We'll talk about that more later. That would be a neat deal, though. I really like that 10 millimeter round. All right, let's see what else we got here. Got a lot of stuff cooking. I need to see if I can sort some of this stuff out. That's not what I wanted. We'll work on that later. There's the Federal Appeals Court has, believe it or not, struck down the good cause or good reason requirement for concealed carry permits in Washington, D.C., meaning that they've determined that this is unconstitutional for you to have to prove that you have a have to have that you've got a good reason to get a concealed carry permit, and you can't get one unless you have a good reason. So they've struck that down, and that's awesome. And if they've done that in D.C., I can't imagine that there are other states won't be soon to follow. I think it's pretty much a given. The decision was handed down by a 2-1 vote, with Thomas Griffith and Stephen Williams voting to strike down the rule on the Second Amendment grounds. And they didn't strike it down for any other purpose other than exactly what the Second Amendment says. So, Yakima Glock, it's a little easier, I think. I'm not certain, but I think it's a little easier to build one with a 9mm since there's already lots of 9mm ARs out there. So uppers and lowers and everything else are available. I'm not aware of any 10mm ones out there. If there is, then number one, correct me if I'm wrong. Number two, get to building me one. I'll rob a bank or whatever I need to do to get the money to you. So I don't want to spend a whole lot of time on that, but I think that I'm pretty confident that other states are going to fall like dominoes here pretty quick because of this. So be anxious to see what happens. The D.C.'s built their concealed carry statute with Well, they've done this with this good cause requirement. And so far, since they've had this concealed carry deal in place, only 124 people have been able to clear all the hurdles and be able to get their concealed carry permit. So this ought to make a big difference here. All right. Just checking on the chat room here. Let's move on here to the next deal. We have another win here, I believe, for the Second Amendment. You know, we're experiencing some. Oh, never mind. I'm sorry. That's the same one. Court blocks D.C. from enforcing concealed carry restriction. Okay. Never mind. I tried. This is a good, you'll love this. This is funny. All right, Yakima Glock, thank you. There is one of the occupiers, as they like to call them, of the Malheur Refuge. His attorney has blamed everything bagel for their failed drug test. This guy has said his client tested positive for morphine. Listen to this. Tested positive for morphine because of the poppy seeds on a bagel that he ate. Unbelievable. When confronted with the failed drug test results on May 22nd, Jason Blumgren testing positive for morphine, his lawyer Robert W. Rainwater explained, it's our position that the positive urine sample test was caused by a bagel he ate for breakfast and not an illegal uncontrolled substance. The comical explanation emerged after Blumgren tested positive for opiates and oxycodone this month. Rainwater then said his client may have a problem with addiction. Drug use reportedly a violation of pain. More to that story, but that's I thought that was the funny part right there. Let's see. Got some Bofang discussion here. Got a picture. Let me check this picture Yakima Glock put on here. Yeah. Did you do that grip reduction in beaver tail on that Glock there? Yakima Glock, if you did, that's a fine job on the beaver tail. I didn't think anybody but me had done integral beaver tails like that and not the ones that just pin on. I've done several of them and got some good pictures, stuff like that. Doc, I didn't know that. I had no idea. I'd like to see if this flies. That's going to be interesting. I had no idea that there was a, for those of you not in the chat room, Doc says that it's a well-documented phenomenon that this was to, that this happens with bagels, with poppy seeds anyway. So, Susie B., that's right. Be careful of your bagels. Yeah, I knew about the decongestants and all that kind of stuff give false readings there, but I had no idea about the poppy seeds. All right, let's move on to our next one here. Now, this is interesting. I don't know if there's anything to it really or not, but Wells Fargo is closing 450 branches across the nation. It would appear to me that that's not entirely a good thing. 450 banks, that's quite a bit. Of course, I don't know how many they have. I think they have something like 5,000 banks or something like that. So in the overall scheme of things, 450 is really not that many. But when you look at closing all that many of them in Let's see, what period of time? Yeah, that's right. They have 5,977 locations. Because more than the bank with the second highest number. They have the largest number of banks in the country, second only to Chase with 5,217. So they're not doing well financially, and they're cutting all these, trying to cut their costs, I guess. So add that to everything else that's going on, and I just don't see that as being a great thing. But I could be wrong. I thought I was wrong once, but I was mistaken. I'll read that one later. I'll read that. You know, I'm going to talk about a few of these right now. We always talk about gun accidents and stuff. And there's several of them here. These all happened various times here over the last couple of years. Here is a woman that was preparing to shoot Ferguson protesters, accidentally shoots herself. Becca Campbell, she died actually. She's a passenger in a car being driven by her boyfriend in downtown St. Louis. She was jokingly waving a gun around and exclaiming, "We're ready for Ferguson." Her boyfriend ducked, which seems like a perfectly normal response to having a loaded gun waved at him. And the impact, and what happened is he ducked and had a wreck. And the impact of the collision caused the gun to fire and shot the woman in the head. They said they'd purchased the weapon just days before the Ferguson grand jury verdict in anticipation of some life-threatening civil unrest. Three-year-old shoots and kills mother. I hate these stories. We've talked several of them. There was a four-year-old that killed her grandmother in the supermarket. There was a five-year-old that killed... There's been, what... 6, 8, 10 of them we've talked about over the last 2 or 3 years. And this just absolutely destroys me. I cannot imagine what this three-year-old kid is going through now and what they're going to go through for the rest of their life knowing that they killed their own mother or father or sister or brother or whatever the case may be. I hate it. The day is just before Thanksgiving this year. Couldn't have been this year, it had to have been last year. Krista Engels was accidentally killed by her 3-year-old son, who found a semi-automatic weapon that he used hidden under a couch in Tulsa, Oklahoma. The 26-year-old mother was in the middle of changing the diaper for her 1-year-old daughter at the time she was shot. So here we're going to have siblings that are 2 years apart, and the lady's mother came in and found the two kids covered in blood, and the lady who got shot, who was an Army veteran, husband was a truck driver, was on the road at the time. And this just absolutely breaks my heart. The confused toddler kept repeating the words, "Mommy shot." Now, this kid's going to grow up with that on his conscience. The sibling is going to grow up knowing that the brother shot Mommy and killed her when I was 1 year old and I didn't even get to know her. I cannot see anything good happening in these people's lives for a while without some extraordinary counseling and a loving family. I hate them. I just hate them. Florida man threatening to shoot wife's dog accidentally shot himself in the face instead. Oh, well. Killed him, by the way. Yep, that's what happens when you get shot in the face oftentimes. Man shoots himself in the... Again. Fourth one. Shot himself, yeah, there. In that spot. Instead of calling the police or an ambulance, an unidentified man drove to a friend's house where he removed his clothes to to find that the bullet had exited out of his buttocks. An epiphany he probably came to as the spent bullet fell out on the floor. It's likely also that he disappointed later to learn that he'd miss out on the only upside of shooting yourself there, which is the one-of-a-kind story to tell the rest of your life. As it turns out, he's just one of six guys who've shot themselves there over the last 5 years alone. And this was a couple of years ago, and we already know that there's been three this year. Well, there we have it. Mouse just joined us, and appears like she had to join us because she has an actual real-life story about poppy seed muffins. Her son failed a drug test. So, yeah, I thought that was pretty funny, and so did everybody in the story here. But the apparently it's a real thing. Doc said it's real. Mouse says it's real. Welcome, Mouse. Glad you made it with us tonight. That's cool. Gun seller's dad's 3-year-old shot by 4-year-old neighbor. Not even going to read that. That's enough. I hate these. Idaho State University professor shoots himself in the foot during class. Florida man shoots himself in the butt. Man from Hollywood, Florida accidentally shot himself in the butt, which didn't cause any life-threatening injuries, but was probably not the ideal thing to have to explain to police and emergency care workers. According to the local paper, the man, identified only as a 20-something, was in the middle of cleaning his .38-caliber revolver and apparently dropped it on the floor, discharged, and when it hit the floor, the bullet hit him in the butt. Georgia Waffle House cook shoots and kills customer who won't leave. You know, I don't think that was an accident. I think they was having a couple of people were being unruly and wouldn't leave, and so anyway. Man accidentally shoots himself in the hand, killed his dog in the process. 9-year-old girl, we heard this one before. This was in Arizona that killed her instructor with the Uzi. Iowa cop accidentally shoots self and another officer. Honorable mention here, man leaves gun with 11-year-old daughter while he gets a tattoo. He goes in and gets a tattoo, leaves his 11-year-old with a 22 for self-defense. Now, that's not necessarily in itself a very bad thing, because I know lots and lots of kids by the time they're 11 that are quite competent with a handgun. But I also know a whole lot more of them that's not. So I don't know what kind of training this guy had or what kind of training he's given his 11-year-old daughter. But he said he this was in Albuquerque, by the way. He gave her that 22, and I guess he apparently gives another kid a 380 from time to time when he thinks they need protection. Let's see. Alright. Susie B., you're terrible. All right, let me see here what else we got. Damn, it's already break time again. Well, how time flies when you're having fun. This is not a gun story. It's not a political story. I do not like Garth Brooks anymore because of his politics. However, during a concert, he saw a woman up front holding a sign that said, chemo this morning, and what was it? Let me bring this up here. Chemo this morning and the dance tonight or something like that. She was right up close to the front, and he saw this sign, Garth Brooks did, immediately walked off stage and walked down to her. And you see, there's a video that goes along with this. So I thought it was pretty touching. Let me see. I'm trying to find out what exactly the sign said. Oh, chemo this morning, Garth tonight, enjoying the dance. He stepped off the stage to meet Teresa and continued his performance directly to her. And then after it was over, he gave her his guitar. Can you even imagine that that woman had the was so such a fan that she had chemo that morning and went to a concert the same night, and then have her star give her his guitar. Well, later on, what makes this even better, after she was given the all clear and attended another one of his concerts and took a sign that said, "I kicked cancer's ass, still enjoying the dance." So I thought that was pretty cool, pretty neat story. You guys remember Natasha Fatale, I think that was her name. Anybody remember that? I'm going to wait just a minute here and see if we see anybody. The batteries in my mouse are getting low here. Anybody remember Natasha? Anyway, she was Natasha and Boris in Rocky and the Bullwinkle show. Rocky and Bullwinkle. Well, June Foray was the voice of Natasha, and she just died a couple days ago at the age of 99. So, that was one of the cartoons that I grew up with, and I'm sure a lot of you did too. She was also the voice of Witch Hazel in Looney Tunes, and Nell, remember Nell and Dudley Do-Right, the blonde-headed gal on Dudley Do-Right, and Granny. You ever watch Tweety and Sylvester? Well, Granny was their June Foray was the voice of Granny. She was Cindy Lou Who in Chuck Jones' How the Grinch Stole Christmas. Anyway. June Foray, dead at 99. What else have I got for you here? I got to clear off a bunch of these. Oh, here's one of the biggest things here. Nobody has really taken him serious. However, maybe they should, because I think it has now been verified that North Korea does, in fact, have a missile that will reach here. Problem is, it can't reach here with very much accuracy. So even though they may aim for Los Angeles, they may hit Cody, Wyoming. I don't have any idea. But that could be an issue. So that's one of the many things we can add to our list of things that's happening here that could escalate to worldwide problem here. Yakima Glock, I didn't even know you was old enough to remember Rocky and Bullwinkle. And there was probably reruns, actually, by the time you watched them. Doc, I have to say, I kind of agree with you there. For those of you that are shotgun reloaders, have you ever thought about loading some 2-inch shells to give you a little more capacity in your 5-round gun? It wouldn't be hard to do. You need to, you'll have to have something with adjustable dies. You may not be able to do it with all of your types of reloaders and dies, but I thought about cutting these shells down. Would you want them for shooting geese over decoys? No, certainly not. You're not going to have that kind of power. However, at bedroom ranges, why would you not want to be able to load up some number 4 buck in some 2-inch shells and be able to put an extra round or two in your shotgun and have way more than plenty of oomph to take out a human type varmint. So just something to think about. I think it's a feasible thing. I know they make shells, I think they make 1.5-inch shells. And the only problem with them is they don't feed very well in some guns. So if you're going to try some of them, you need to run a couple of boxes through the gun first to make sure they're going to work properly before you actually put them in the gun for serious use. But at least 2-inch, I think, would be quite a bit better than that. Nobody makes any 2-inch shells commercially that I'm aware of right now. I haven't really researched it that much. There may be some. But if you reload with just a little bit of shell preparation and stuff, there's no reason in the world you couldn't do it. You'll have to modify your wads probably a little bit and everything. You'll probably have to reduce your powder charge, and it'll probably be about it. You'll have to do some experimenting and messing around there to get it right. Well, in Germany, where it is exceedingly difficult to walk around here with a handgun on your hip like we do here, it's not all that difficult really, but if you get caught, it could be a problem. So what do you do in the case like that? If you want to go out and kill a herd of bunch of people, take a knife. And it works pretty good, actually, in Germany, because there's just not a whole lot of people that's going to bring a gun to a knife fight. I know you're not supposed to bring a knife to a gunfight, but it would be nice to be able to bring a gun to a knife fight, if at all possible. But in Hamburg, Germany, there was a guy with a knife that killed at least one person, left 4 others wounded. Police arrested him. And he was overwhelmed by citizens, spectators, passers-by, whatever you want to call them. Slightly injured in the process, they said. The assailant entered the supermarket and stabbed one person who died at the scene. Before fleeing the scene while on the run, he stabbed and injured 4 other people. Witness says the Hamburg attacker shouted, "Allahu Akbar," before stabbing these people. So, all right. Here we have yet another absolute, total, 100% unadulterated retard. Her name, you might recognize it, is Lana Del Rey. She's a singer that has, she's banned American flags at her concert. Now, she used to be put on the show of being relatively patriotic. You know, she's got pictures of her standing in front of the flag saluting, and it was kind of a silly-looking salute. It wasn't serious, but at any rate, she says, let me make sure I get it right here. She said, "I think it would be inappropriate to be in France with an American flag. It would feel weird to me right now. It didn't feel weird in 2013. I feel less safe than I did when Obama was president." Really? The 32-year-old opened up about all her fears of President Trump and the rest of her liberal rhetoric in an interview with Pitchfork magazine. The writer inquires about the change in Ray's politics. "Just a few years ago, you were saying you didn't care about feminism, and now you're writing protest songs and meditations on war and peace." She said, "Yeah, because things have changed culturally. They've shifted culturally. It's more appropriate now than under Obama's administration, where at least everyone I knew felt safe." Well, I never heard of her, so I don't guess I have any problem boycotting her music. Court has decided here in Arizona. You know what they've decided? They have decided that we should...
I'll be back.
That's what I like to see, bullseyes, every time. And you can do the same thing with Byers Barrels. As long as you do your part, the custom barrels that you get from Byers Barrels will deliver award-winning accuracy shot after shot. Byers Barrels specializes in standard and 1-in-9-inch twist match-grade 22 long rifle barrels for the Ruger 10/22 and AR-15. If you want to win, visit their site at ByersBarrels.com. That's BeyerBarrels.com. Or you can call Clint at 360-374-9476 and tell him you heard it on the Shooting Bench, would you? Let him know that his advertising money is doing him some good. Country music fan, particularly classic country, join me, Cope Reynolds, every Friday night for Liberty Lounge right here on Survival Circle Network.
Nothing ever happened around my hometown. I ain't kind of just hang around. But I heard someone call my name one day and I followed that voice down a lost highway. Everybody told me you can't get far on $37 in a Jeep guitar. In Texas with a hammer down and a rock a little combo from the guitar down.
Absolutely the fastest 2 hours on internet radio, Liberty Lounge. Every Friday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific, 10 to midnight Eastern, right here on Survival Circle.
I love to hear the steel bell coming on the asphalt. Wake up in the middle of the night in a truck stop, stumble in a restaurant. Wonder why I don't stop.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming? Oh, beautiful for spacious skies, for amber waves of grain, for purple mountain majesties above the fruited plain. From the lakes of Minnesota to the hills of Tennessee, across the plains of Texas, from sea to shining sea, from Detroit down to Houston and New York to L.A. Well, there's pride in every American heart, and it's time we stand and say, God bless America, land that I love. America, America, God shed His grace on. Beside her and guide her
doubt. I love this land and the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air, game proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say does that star spangled
Welcome back to another segment of the Shooting Bench, right here on the Survival Circle Radio Network.
Okay, we're back. Now, I was talking about Arizona courts here. Hang on 1 second. Let's see what this is here. Yakima Glock, thank you for that. I'll check it out and see if it's feasible for me. That would be cool for the 10mm AR. Yeah. You know, I'm not sure. I say that without thinking, because if I were going to have an AR, really the only four choices that I would be interested in, realistically, would be a 9mm, 223, 7.62x39, 308. Bulk 10mm ammunition. Why in the world? If I was an AR fan, if I was a real aficionado of ARs, maybe. You know, it'd be a great great deer gun. It'd be a good elk gun as far as that goes. There's been big elk killed with a hell of a lot less smaller calibers than the 10, you know, less powerful calibers than the 10mm. So, yeah, maybe for that I think it would be accurate. I think it would be smoking. I think you'd get, 1,800 feet a second out of it. Maybe more. And it'd be a great round. But I guess when any time I think of ARs, I just don't really, it's like thinking of AKs. I think of it more as a service, service weapon of sorts, you know, rather than a recreational gun. But if I was looking at something for hunting, small to medium game, that if you can get the degree of accuracy out of that you do a 223 out of an AR, that'd be a good thing. But then you got to worry about your brass going all over the place. So I don't know. Maybe I don't want one. It'd be fun, but I'm going to check into it, see what it's going to cost to build one. But the more I think about it, the more I think maybe I don't, maybe I shouldn't. So, hang on here. Nope, never mind. I'll do that some other time. Like I said, if it was the 40 Smith & Wesson, yeah, ammo is reasonable enough. 10mm ammo, when you start buying 10mm ammo by the thousand, that tells me right there that you've got a whole lot more money than I do. Whole lot more. And the other thing about the 10mm, if you can't shoot hot 10mm, if you can't shoot something by Double Tap or Buffalo Boar or Good Reloads yourself, there's really not that much reason to go to a 10mm over a 40. You know, a 40 Smith & Wesson out of a Glock 34 or 35 or a 24, not a 34, a 35 or a 24, will give you 10mm, standard factory 10mm velocities, give or take, you know, 40 or 50 feet a second at the most. So there, if you're not going to reload for it or pony up the money for the hot rounds, don't waste the money on the ammo and the gun, because you're really not getting anywhere. But, and I've said this I don't know how many times, if you reload, or if you get Buffalo Boar or Double Tap ammo, the 10mm is a remarkable semi-automatic handgun round. As I've said before, it scares the living hell out of 41 Magnum ballistics. So it'll do pretty much anything in North America that you think you're man enough to do, or woman enough, as it were. Let's see, if you reload 7.62 with 39, perfectly servable. You know, I like that round. I really do. I haven't really got into reload. I've reloaded quite a bit for, especially when I had my Mini 30. But there's enough ammo out there that suits my needs that I really haven't really felt the desire or the necessity to get into reloading for the 7.62 with 39 anymore. But it is a great recreational round. It's a great hunting round. It's a great self-defense round. It's not a great long-range round. However, out to 500 yards with the right gun, it does a pretty good job. Out of my CZ with this is not with reloads or factory or domestic ammo. The same stuff that I shoot out of my AK, particularly the Golden Tiger with the boat tail bullets, my CZ will shoot a 9-inch group at 500 yards. Now, that's not great, considering I can shoot one, you know, half that size with my 308. But it's not bad. You know, that's almost headshot material at 500 yards. Definitely easy torso shots at 500. It doesn't have enough gumption to be a viable hunting round at that distance. I would limit it with all conditions being perfect. I would limit it to whitetail size game, probably out to 300. Varmints, you know, sky's the limit, but 200 yards, I would have no problem. Maybe 250 for mule deer, whitetail, antelope, stuff like that. I wouldn't quite push it that far for elk. Elk, I would limit my shots to 100, 150 yards with that round. There's always could be an exception depending on circumstances, but that's kind of my self-imposed limits there. But with the, you know what, Yakima Glock, now that you mention it, I haven't seen that on the market, the Golden Tiger stuff, for quite a while either. Quite some time. Of course, I haven't looked for it either. So that may have something to do with it. But I still have about 2,000 rounds of that put away. It's the only 7.62 by 39 round that I am aware of that has a boat tail bullet. And it shows. It makes a difference in accuracy and velocity. Holds its velocity a little better at longer ranges than the other stuff does. Not remarkably so, but, you know, it's noticeable. So add those couple of little things there to the quality of the CZ527, and you've got a pretty decent little mid-range carbine. It's, you know, it's short, heavy barrel. It's a remarkable little gun. I wouldn't trade it for nothing. I just, it's built pretty heavy duty. It's got the Mauser action, the bolt and everything. I'm not quite the fan of the Mauser actions that some other people are, but I have nothing against them. I'm just not the fanboy of them like some people. Let me see. Let me check something here. Let's see. Yeah, Yakima Glock, there's still plenty of Golden Tiger out there. I haven't looked at it at all for a while. But here's some at SG Ammo. Here's some at bulkammo.com, Lucky Gunner. There's even a goldentigerammo.com. So, yeah, there's still plenty of it out there. I just haven't looked at all since I've got enough to suit me right now. So check it out. If you're interested in it, it's a great round. If you don't want to reload, the thing about reloading is, you know, getting a variety of 311 diameter bullets. You know, Ruger's Mini 30, they tried for a while to make 310 bores on there in hopes that it would shoot well with both 310, 308, and 311 bullets. Well, it didn't shoot very well with either. So I don't know what their answer to that was, but it didn't shoot either one of them very good. So it's a lot of the domestic ammo, you want to make sure when you buy it, make sure that you know what your gun actual bore size is, and make sure you know the bullets that you're buying, because a lot of the domestic ammo has 308 bullets in it. And they shoot fine. You just don't get the accuracy out of them that you could with the you know, 310 or 311 bullets. But there are some challenges with reloading the 7.62 with 39. And you know, Yakima Glock, the Wolf, of all the stuff that we tested when I had the shop back there, we had the chronograph set up and was testing stuff all the time. At least at that time, it may have been lot numbers, it may have been, you know, different factors, but at that time, Wolf was the fastest of all the imported stuff that we shot. We shot quite a bit of it. We shot the Yugoslavian stuff, Wolf, Tula, Golden Tiger, Brown Bear, Silver Bear, and Golden Bear, all those. And it wasn't much. I've still got those papers around here somewhere. But the Wolf was slightly faster than the rest of them. You know, 50 feet a second or so. And it was noticeable. But anyway, a lot of people don't like to shoot some of that imported ammo. There's really nothing wrong with it. Some of it's a little dirty. Now, stay away from the Yugoslavian stuff, I'll tell you that. It's corrosive, and it doesn't shoot very well. I never was a fan of the Yugoslavian stuff. But all of the rest of it, anything, Golden Tiger has always been the most accurate in my guns and in my testing, but it's not, you know, head and shoulders above everything else. It's just a little better. When I had my converted SKS, where I put the charging handle over on the left hand side, put the collapsible stock, and redid the trigger and put a scope on it and all of this stuff, then I shot the Golden Tiger, and that gun would shoot 2 inches. Pretty handily with Golden Tiger at 100 yards. My CZ will very comfortably shoot an inch and a half at 100 yards. Still not great, but it's adequate. It doesn't do too bad for what I got it for. I'm confident that it would shoot considerably better if I used possibly domestic ammo or worked up some good hand loads for it, one or the other. I'm I'm sure it would shoot better. It's got a good, it's got a great set trigger that I have worked on, smoothed up. And the thing about the excuse me, didn't mean to do that in your ear. The thing about the thing about what I was going to say that just disappeared into thin air, poof, and it was all gone. So we just won't talk about that because I don't remember what it is. Yeah, the Yakima Glock, that's what we experienced also. It's nasty. The Yugoslavian stuff, stay away from it. If you have to shoot it, if you find a good deal that you just can't pass up, be advised that every time you go out and shoot it, when you come in at night, clean the gun very well. You can get by without cleaning so often with a lot of this other imported stuff, but not the Yugoslavian. It's bad, bad stuff. All right. Arizona courts. We never did get to that story. We're going to get to it right now. Got to bring this back up. Here we go. The court has decided here what is loaded and unloaded. Even though it has never been defined before and is not officially defined as far as statute goes right now, this is just a court ruling in one case. A guy out of Green Valley, the court said that this was just this last Friday, not even a week ago. Just because a weapon doesn't have a bullet in the chamber does not mean it's unloaded, is what the Court of Appeals say. And that's a common misconception. A lot of people believe that. Stick the magazine in, even in our classes, after we've explained it, we'll tell everybody to go ahead and load, and they pop the magazine in and say, well, should I put one in the chamber? Yes, that would be loading, yes. That's go ahead and put one in the chamber. Putting a loaded magazine in the gun, and I wish that I had the opportunity to talk to this guy's attorney. Because I feel like with my argument that he might have had a little better chance. The attorney obviously was out of his league and didn't know what he was up against there. So in Utah, their definition of loaded, and then we've talked about this, but their definition of loaded is that there is, well, let me say it differently. Their definition of unloaded is that there is not a round in the firing position of the gun and it takes two or more mechanical movements to get the gun to fire. Not one in the firing position, two or more mechanical movements. A mechanical movement can be racking the slide, taking it off safety, working a bolt, cocking the hammer. All of those are mechanical movements. You need to have two of those to fire a gun and not have one in the firing position. And that's considered unloaded. So I would try to use Utah's, even though it's not, we're not in Utah, we're in Arizona, I understand that. But when there is a law already in place in some other state, it would seem to me that that would hold a little bit of water to say, well, this state, along with every other shooter out there in the world that knows anything, can tell you that just because you've put a loaded magazine in it doesn't mean you've loaded the gun. It means you've transferred the ammunition from one place to another. You've put ammunition in the storage device and put it in the, and then stored it in the grip or the handle of the weapon. You did not load the gun. I can rack one in there. Now, if I put one in the chamber and take the magazine out, does that mean it's unloaded according to this guy? So I would have liked to explain to him what is loaded and what is not. If you can't make that gun fire any conceivable way without working the action, in my mind, the gun is unloaded. And I had always planned, if I got caught in New Mexico carrying before I got my permit, carrying in New Mexico, it's legal to carry concealed, unloaded without a permit, and it always has been. The problem is that no one has ever defined loaded or unloaded. So I was quite prepared to test those waters. I just never had anybody challenge me with it. So, and then we got through concealed carry law in I think January of 2004, I believe, and maybe 2003. I don't remember. All right, let's check. Let me see some of what's going on in the chat room here. That is odd, Doc, that SKSAK doesn't shoot well, and shoots okay in 308s. I don't know. Realistically, depending on if you have a barrel that's in good shape with good sharp rifling and it measures 311, and you shoot 308 bullets in it, chances are pretty good that it's going to shoot just fine. Maybe not the match grade accuracy that you feel like you're capable of, but it'll probably shoot just fine. If you have worn rifling, the more worn it is, obviously the more it's going to make a difference in your accuracy. But, 3/1000ths of an inch is really like not very much. It's like a tiny little bit. And it is just, unless the barrel's pretty worn out, your 308s are going to shoot fine in it. But, Ruger found out that making 310 barrels was not the answer to that. All right. I think I finally got caught up on most of them. I've got some other stories that are going to require, almost a whole show or half a show all by themselves. But I guess, I don't know if you guys have been keeping up. There's a couple of stories we need to talk about briefly, and I'll tell you, I'm pretty disappointed in the response that we've gotten to Bobby's dilemma, Bobby Black and his kids. Not saying that you guys didn't call or anything. I don't know whether you did or did not. I have no idea, no way of knowing who did and didn't. But the response has been lukewarm at best. It was pretty good there for a few days, and then it fizzled out pretty quick. Bobby and them are still basically hostages in their home. They're not going anywhere. They have not had very good luck with attorneys trying to represent them. It looks at this point like, it may not turn out very well. So I stay in contact with Bobby, and he's updating me on things as they happen. And he's a little disappointed also. We've had, the whole nation is, well, I don't know about the whole nation, but a great many of the pro-gun, conservative, pro-liberty bunch are focused on Bundys and Hammonds and Finnicums and all that, and I'm 100% with them. However, it's not the only thing going on in the country right now. There are other struggles that require us to. There's enough of us out there that we can contribute the same amount of time and the same amount of manpower to the Bundy situation up there and still be able to devote a significant showing of manpower for and money and phone calls and whatever to help Bobby and Bridget. And it's just not happening. So I guess we'll all just kick back and wait and see what happens, and if things go down to the worst, then we'll always be able to kick back and say, well, somebody should have done something. If you've been keeping up at all with the Bundy story, it's not really unlike Bobby's story, or maybe I should say Bobby's story is not really unlike the Bundy story. The judge is crooked, corrupt. Everybody involved, CPS and all of them, Anthony Bosworth has gone through this with CPS. And what we did find out today, actually, was that the inspection that was done with Anthony and his kids after his ex had accused him of mistreating his kids, two of his kids, after the inspection by CPS, they determined in writing that that was not true. That there may be, you know, whatever else is going on, we don't know. But the complaint by his ex was unfounded and not true. So I was glad to hear that. So that's, anyway, this thing with CPS and judges and lawyers all over the country, every place you look, there's just no fairness, no justice left. It is so rare and in such small amounts in such few places, so few places, that it is has become statistically irrelevant. What can be done about it? I don't know. I really don't know. I know what a lot of people want to do about it. What they're going to actually accomplish if that were to happen is anyone's guess. Whether it's going to get the desired results or not, I don't know. But I do know that if it goes that direction, then it will be a long, long time before we see things get back into a normal routine again, into a constitutional, lawful routine. It'll be rough. So, that's what I got to say about that, and I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I think that I've probably expended all of my material here, so I'm thinking real seriously that I'm going to go ahead and sign out. I'm going to, while this next little deal is playing here, I'm going to go in and check out and see what the archives are doing and make sure that everything's set up and squared away there. I haven't seen DeTinker for a few days. So I'm going to play this and go work on that. And by the time everything closes in 14 and a half minutes, I ought to have everything set up. So I appreciate you joining me. And we will see you Wednesday. All right,
welcome to the Shooting Bench. This is Nostalgia Central here. We've got a few clips for you from various places that the show has been put on. We haven't nearly got all of them by any remote stretch, but we've got quite a few, and I just wanted to throw this in here. This first one, we missed about half of about the first 30 minutes of the show. This was the very first show, certainly the first Shooting Bench, to be done after the collapse of the Watchmen. This was the first show done on Just Measures Radio Network on the 6th of June in 2011, and this was done from a little town in Nevada called Eureka. And we're just going to listen to little clips from a few of these and move on from there. Let's listen in here.
You know what, T-Dog? We may try to get Miss Amy in here. She has migrated in here to this diner and is bonding with these folks here. Nice people here. This in Eureka, Nevada, when you drive up there, it says the friendliest little town on the loneliest road in America. And there, that's why we had to stop here and do it, because the next stop is Ely, Nevada, and it's, I don't know, it's 100, 120 miles, and there's nothing but barbed wire fence between here and there and a few road signs, a couple of antelope maybe. Once again, this is the Shooting Bench. I don't know how this is about the ninth time I've said this. This is the Shooting Bench. I am Cope Reynolds, and this is coming to you live and in Technicolor from Moab, Utah. One of the most incredible views in the world. The land, terrain features and stuff around here are unlike anything anybody else has to offer. We love coming through here. I've been here like a million times, but I never get tired of it. It's astounding. So that's where we're at now. This is the 7th of June. Okay, welcome. It is Tuesday, the 2nd of August, the day before Hump Day, the day before Jason and I will go forth into deep into enemy territory, into the belly of the beast, to educate folks in the fine art of pistol craft. We're headed to Ohio tomorrow at 0:30 in the morning, and we should be to Just Measures Coin Shop sometime late tomorrow evening. All right. Where in the world is Cope and Jason? Hello, it is Thursday, the 4th of August already, and we are in Mount Vernon, Indiana. Jason and I, we've made a long trip, 26 hours of driving. Welcome to another edition of the Shooting Bench. We drove 26, or we drove 18 hours yesterday and stopped where in the heck did we stop? I was tired last night. Little Rock, Arkansas. And, this morning got up and come on in to Mount Vernon, Indiana. Anyway, here we are. Jeez, what a trip. Where in the world are Cope and Jason right now? Well, we are in, well, the locals call it Belle Fountain. It's spelled Bellefontaine, so I don't know what it is. It's you can look it on the map and call it whatever you want to. But this has been an experience. I told you that Oklahoma's roads suck pretty bad, and Arkansas just sucks, period. And we've got here to Ohio. I've never been a real big fan of Ohio, but I was kind of grateful to get here this time. I found that Ohio is more better than some of the other ones we've been through. This is my third tour to Ohio. Yeah, Jason says we're in BF Ohio, if you can figure that out. And we got here, and our host, gracious, got a nice place to shoot out there. We got here a little late because we stayed with Bobby a little long last night, but we're going to make that up to him tomorrow. And it's been a lot of fun. By the way, for those of you that didn't know this already, it is Friday, the 5th of August already. Welcome to another edition of the Shooting Bench. We are coming to you, Jason and I, live and in Technicolor from, well, I was going to say beautiful downtown St. Louis, but
it's more beautiful than Illinois.
Yeah, it is. It is beautiful because we just come out of Illinois. So and that's why we're late, because we didn't want to stop and do it behind enemy lines. I was afraid that, I didn't know if Jay, we've only got two AKs with us and a limited amount of ammunition, and I'm not sure that Jason would have been able to hold them off. And I may have had to play a long commercial break so I could get out there and help him stand them off here. So we made a dash to get inside America here, and we just did it. We're stopped at a gas station in the sunshine in the middle of nowhere, but we are in St. Louis. So if you hear the traffic going by and everything, we're stopped at a, what is that, Jason? Diarrhea Queen or Sonic or
it's
some little ice cream place here. And tuning in on us here, it is Tuesday, the 9th of August, and we're coming to you live and in Technicolor from beautiful downtown Shamrock, Texas. We are at Big Vern's Steakhouse in Shamrock. The folks at Big Vern's Steakhouse have been kind enough to let us borrow their air conditioning and their television, their Diet Cokes here for a little bit, and to bring you the Shooting Bench. And next weekend is Pioneer Days in Luna. If you guys can possibly swing the time and money to swing by here and check this out, you will be absolutely flabbergasted. This is a little town. It's not even a town. It just barely classifies as a community. There's 158 people in an unincorporated area. We have Southwest Shooting Authority and one little tiny bitty store, two gas pumps, and a post office. That's it. And 158 people. And that's all there is. But when it comes Pioneer Days, they have, you know, the average rodeo, professional rodeo, stuff you see on TV, sometimes has 20 and 30 teams, team roping and stuff like that, bulldog and whatever. There are over 50 teams come to this rodeo. I don't have any idea what is so appealing about this little rodeo in this town. Okay, here we are. We are welcome to a special edition of the Shooting Bench on Just Measures Radio. We are coming to you live and in Technicolor, but not really. It's a little bit of green, a whole lot of brown, and some blue skies here. And we are live in Quartzsite, Arizona right now. And this is going to be an exciting weekend. There's no question about it. There's a lot of guns here. There's a lot of people rolling in. My old friend Bob Wright's in here. And I would suspect that Bob Mitzel is probably with him. I don't know how many of his group that he brought. I'll be seeing him right after the show. A lot of things going on. And it appears that from what I understand, the law enforcement here is a little bit on edge, which I can believe that. If you listened to the show yesterday, you heard and found out that it doesn't seem that they're going to receive any help from any of the surrounding communities. And the sheriff here, his old-time buddy, will probably be about the only help that he gets. And I don't say that meaning that he's going to need help. It's just that I know that he wanted help. And we'll see how all this turns out. But there's folks steadily pulling in. We're broadcasting to you right now live from Vito's RV Park right outside of Quartzsite, Arizona. This is the happening place. This is where it's at. I met Vito himself a while ago. And thanks, guys. I appreciate you. I was worried about the sound. I have a great big fan blowing by me. We're sitting outside right now. And we've got a canopy over us, but it's 113 degrees. And sun shining bright, and it's just a beautiful day for a rebellion. Some other things that happened here. Number one, remember 2 or 3 weeks ago we told you that Jason and I and Amy had stopped in Socorro to get fuel, and we found an old ratty flag flying across the street. And of course, Amy talked me out of just taking it, so I went and put a note on the door. Well, we went back not once, but twice this weekend, and found that they have removed that flag. Of course, they haven't put up a new one yet, but I don't care about that. I just care about them taking that old ratty one down. Happened over the weekend at our latest crusade, where we went down to the emergency tree cutting plan that they're implementing down in Otero County. Learned a lot down there. We found out that we are not alone in our quest for freedom and liberty and all things right and normal. All gun-related, of course, that may vary just a little bit tonight. We've got a lot of stuff to talk about. But anyway, the Shooting Bench. It is the 11th of December, and Jason and I are tucked away, hiding in a little cubbyhole in Caldwell, Idaho, trying to sneak through here without making too much to do here. I didn't tell you what they told me down at Walgreens a while ago, did I? Well, they went into Walgreens to get some stuff, and there's two gals back there, and of course I was wearing my gun, as I always do. And she said, "Well, how do you like it here?" And I said, "Oh, it's fine, but I don't live here. We're just traveling through." She said, "Where are you from?" And I told her, and she said, "Well, I figured it was someplace like that. You carrying a gun?" So that's pretty much what everybody does around here. And I said, "Yeah, we thought we'd go ahead and cut our trip a little short tonight and stay here instead of going on into Oregon. We had a little extra time. We could have made it on into Oregon." And she said, "Oh, yeah, we treat carriers a whole lot better here than they do over there. I'm glad you stopped." Well, you guys are not going to believe this. I'm going to have to put a playlist on here for a couple of minutes. I just heard the dogs barking, and I went outside, and there's a bear in the goat pen, if you can believe that. The bear is dead now, and I'm going to have to probably call the game department here. But he is inside the goat pen, and a .22 Magnum fixed him right up. So I'm not going to interrupt the show other than I am going to have to play a playlist here for a few minutes, and I'll be back in here in just a little bit. So stand by. Well, that wraps up another edition of the Shooting Bench. Join me Monday and Wednesday from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific, and again on Fridays from 7 to 10 for the Shooting Bench. Good night, and thanks for joining me. Says it all.